Welcome to the New Age Inspired podcast. I'm your host, Emily, an automotive corporate dropout turned certified practitioner coach, helping the visionaries and creators of today break free from the self-doubt and fear of judgment so they can create with confidence and make a difference in the world. This podcast aims to leave you feeling more aware than you were yesterday and inspired to live a fulfilled life, however that looks like for you. Hello and welcome to another episode. I'm so excited to have you here. I hope you're having a great day, a great night, a great week, weekend, whatever it is. How are you going? What have you been up to? How are you feeling about yourself? What are you doing to get you closer to where you want to be? Have you launched anything lately? I would love to know. Reach out and let me know what's going on in your life on Instagram. It would be great to hear from you. So I have a really cool episode today with Kat from Burst Away. We dive into such an amazing conversation about how she built her business and was, I guess, the leader in her industry in the area of Australia and one of the first people to bring this, I guess, to light and create a business out of it, which is really cool. We focus on like comparing to other people and also the cross contamination of ideas. And I guess the idea of like people copying what you're doing and how to actually manage and deal with that. And also attracting your people, attracting the people that love what you do, finding your tribe, and also not only your audience, but the people in your personal life, the people that are supporting you. It's such an important thing. And we go into this so much deeper. So I will not say anything more and go into the actual interview. So I hope you really enjoy it. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind you, you can get my 5-step guide to creating your personal brand on my website, www.mdouglas.com/guide. And you can also click the link in the show notes as well. So let's dive in. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kat. How are you?
Good. I'm so excited.
That's good. So before we dive into this amazing conversation, and I know that I had to hit record before we got into some really cool topics, could you tell us a little bit about your business? So you own Burst Away, and I won't get into that because I think this is your story. Would you be able to just share like a little bit about what your business is and I guess how that kind of came about and developed?
Yes. So we are a balloon-based business. We do everything balloons. Up to all your imagination is pretty much what we do. We do things from garlands to helium balloons to gifts that have you have to pop to get all the goodies out. And then stemmed from that now is backdrops and hire items, etc., because they all just flow so well together. So we started off mainly just doing garlands, as it kind of hadn't hit over in Australia yet. Like over in the UK and America, it was this massive thing and none of us had really seen it. So back in the day where you would see a normal kind of balloon column where they just all sat on top of a stand and they're all very much the same size, we went from that and they're all organic. So their balloons are different sizes, different shapes, like long, like 8 to +10 meters, or little ones to be 2 meters. Like it's endless. So we kind of started off doing that. And then we thought, okay, there's more in it than just the garland. So we looked into a bit more and we saw that it was more of the personalized side, which I am all about. Like I love anything personalized, anything little extra touch. Like as a girl, any little touches that you see that has your name on it or it's like, happy birthday, Maddie. And you're like, oh my God, that's about me. And we all fall for it. And that's totally me. And that's totally all of us. So like, that's what I love the most. So for us, the business side of it is the personalized touches and the little details that you can't get everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I solely do trying to focus on that. So that's kind of why we brought in the helium and the gifts, because we can add so much more personalization to that as well. And then obviously we've added the backdrops and things like that. So my whole game was to be really unique and personalized.
I love that. That's so good. And I know that, like, with the personalized aspect of it, who doesn't love that being personalized, you know?
Love everything. I would literally label my whole house.
I love it. It just, I don't know, it makes you feel special. And like, it is fun. And I've seen a lot of your work and even, you know, purchased like balloons before, and it is special, it's cool, it's different. So before kind of seeing your stuff, I'd never actually even considered like balloons to be something that you would go and add to like an event or give as a gift or have as a bit of a statement piece to anywhere.
100%.
And you mentioned that it was kind of like in the US and the UK. So how did that actually come about for you? Did you see something in particular and that then sparked that for you?
Yeah. So like our business started because my husband went away on a trip and he picked up some balloons from a home-based business, just some helium balloons. And he was like, what a great idea. How much fun would that be? And he came home and told me about it. And then I was like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not a great idea. Like, kid myself now, like, look where I am. So I actually like, and I'm a fan of Instagram. So like, I looked up Instagram, like balloons, and then a few like little things would pop up. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like that is absolutely amazing. And that's what kind of started it. And I did more research and more research into it. And I've always loved the personalized touches anyway. So adding that and then thinking of new ways where I can enhance that even more was all me. So it did stem from a few ideas that we'd seen. And like, as we know anyway, in like the UK and America, trends start there and then eventually get to us. We're just slow, so slow on the bandwagon, but we get there.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess like, I mean, it's a, you could probably see it as a bad thing, but you could also see it as opportunity as well of if you are researching and having a look for different ideas, you can totally like have a look at those markets and then bring that into
Australia 100%.
And be
and
like
really
a leader.
Like big on not copying people's work and being their own. And like, I have lists, like I'm a notebook person. So I have lists and brainstorm ideas of new things that I can bring out because sure, like we get ideas of everybody, but we've got to keep it in a safe way of maybe outside of our town or things like that. Because we want to inspire others as well, but also have a big community of it. So it can be hard, but like I said, notebooks are my friend.
I totally feel you. I'm pretty, I love technology. I'm so techie, love it. However, I have just really found like I've tried to have notebooks on the computer, I've tried to have lists, to-do lists, whatever, but nothing beats pen to paper. And
honestly,
it's proven.
Like $2 notebooks, yeah, about six of them. Honestly, like, and I think like I have my ideas and I need to write it down, otherwise I will forget as well. So it is so important.
Yeah.
And I guess like for this job, like you have to be very creative.
Yeah.
And it's all about the creating. So you do kind of have to have that creative flair already to start. And especially with all of the work that we do, it's very visual. And I've already can fully visualize what my setup will be before I get there. And like, to me, that is so important as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess I've got a bit of a two-part question. Firstly, coming back to the creativity side, were you always a creative person, and if so, like what did that look like? Were you like when you were younger going through school?
Yeah.
Like, what was that?
I have always been creative. Like I always remember even in school when you would be doing art, your art classes, I would always would get A's and I was always like, oh yeah, cool. But I found a lot when I was younger, I got diagnosed with being dyslexic. So I always struggled in literacy and spelling, all that kind of thing. So my little outlet almost was being arty and crafty. So I found that as a child, I did it a lot more because I felt like I could do that and I could be good at it, because anyone can be good at art, you know, art is art. And then as I got older, I kind of like, even just little things, like did my kids' birthday parties, and it was, I just loved the whole planning, the creating, making things for it. And then now I am here now. So I always think it was probably in my journey. It just took me a while to get there, right, which is so cool though.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And I think that we forget how much of the journey actually like is so, what's the word? Just like integral part of where we are now. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Like all of that stuff really does make a difference to where you are now. So I guess the second part of that then, when it comes to creating and ideas and inspiration, how do you actually, I guess, tap into that? And is there anything in like specifically, because like I know for myself, my environment plays a really big part in my inspiration and for ideas, and like being walking or like I know being in the shower or being in certain rooms of my house can spark inspiration. How do you actually tap into that inspiration for new ideas and like
I think a lot of my ideas I grabbed is actually when I'm installing. Because you kind of like with the big installs, like the garlands and the big backdrops and all of that, like when you get all your things there and you start creating and molding your balloon skeleton and things like that, you're very much in yourself. You're in your own little world. You look back and you think. So like for about 45 minutes, I am totally zoned into doing that. So I think that's where I'm totally in my own little world, creating, getting ideas. As far as when it comes to a client booking and going, oh, I'm wanting to book in and my date's this and I have a jungle theme. And then that's when I literally my brain starts to explode. I have all these ideas in my head that I need to quickly email them back, because I'm like, we could do this and this and this and this. This. Obviously, it depends on their budget, but it is so much more visual. Like it's all visual. It's all in my head. It's all like all in there. So that's probably why I have lots of notebooks as well. I don't have a lot of free time in my brain.
But at least it's getting out of your brain, right? Once you've got it on the notebooks.
Exactly. That's,
that is so good. And I guess I have so many questions. But coming back to like not copying other people's things and that individuality and having that respect for ideas. And I know that like I've been thinking about it a lot of, yes, ideas are replicable, and we do, like everybody learns from somewhere, and that's also that's obviously come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I guess when it comes down to it, nothing's original. However, our own, I guess, creative flair and our own personality of that then makes that different.
Yeah.
How do you go about differentiating yourself and being unique to, I guess, the growing market? And I know that well, for me, your business and what you guys do, you were the leader in this. And I haven't seen too much of that around. And I guess I'm not really looking for it a lot, but you were kind of like front of mind for me and the first kind of stuff that I seen around in the southwest of Australia. So I guess with when, you know, trends do happen, a lot more people then come into the market. How do you, I guess, differentiate yourself and keep that original, if that makes sense.
So I still like, it's a big thing for me with social media is to show snippets of what things we do that maybe another balloonist don't do in the southwest, to showcase the difference between us, and as well as if we are doing something and we have got ideas from them, we also still do tag the other company and saying inspiration from, et cetera. So we do want to acknowledge that and not have a blind eye to it. Yeah, exactly. And with the small details as well, it's also being our most professional and the small touches as well. So I know that for an example, when we are getting ready for our install, we have all the things ready. We get there, we put our aprons on, we have our toolboxes, We shine at the end of the in-store. We leave a care card at the end. All these little things that you would not see an average balloon business do. They're the little touches that we want to showcase ourselves in. We've got it. You know, we know exactly what we're doing, and this is why we're here.
Yeah.
It's all the details again for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, when I guess when there is such a big market or growing market or whatever, those little things, and even in bigger brands as well, all the little touches actually do make
a
big difference. It's the details.
Exactly. And like even when I've bought from companies in the past, and you get a postage and there's a little note, a handwritten note saying thank you for your order, you want to order back from them again because they actually put care into your order. So for us, we want to showcase that we actually really appreciate that you've let us do a celebration for you and be a part of it. And it can be like we've done things for wakes and funerals in the past. So like that's a really like touching, awkward, hard moment for us all. But like we're honoured, like we're so honoured to do that. We want to feel that everyone feels special, even if it was a $40 order to a $1,000 order. It doesn't make no difference for us.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that shows, you know, that customer service and that customer care and differentiating that. I mean, it is. It's the overall service.
It's definitely. And I was talking to my girlfriends about it, a girlfriend in business, and it was saying also it's the way you portray yourself and the way you present yourself and you whatever you're doing, that you know that you've done everything you possibly can to make sure you can gain the best service and the look from your business.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really integral question to ask, like especially if you are in business or even like as an employee or a person. It's like, how do you want to be perceived?
Yeah, 100%.
And if, you know, you've got answers to that question, well, what can you do to help that perception? What can you intentionally do to help that, you know, perception of you and that vision of you and what people say and think and feel when they think about you or they go and think about balloons or they're going to think of cat, they're going to think of...
Yeah, 100%, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you doing before you guys did the business in the first way?
So... in that kind of gap, I got married, moved to Busselton and had two kids. So I was very much in the mum zone of it all. I did a little bit of beauty on the side, just a little bit of home-based stuff while having kids, etc. So for about 6 years, that was just my little bit that I do. And again, it was very creative. Like my favourite part of the beauty side was eyebrows. Like, and I same thing, I could already visualise exactly how I wanted to wax their brows before like I'd even started. So I guess that's another thing, like I already had started, but it was just a little bit of a side business while I had kids. And my eldest was in school then and my youngest was two, so I was at the point where I needed to probably do something more, and then it stemmed from there. So I've always, it's funny when you look back at your life and then the little creative things or how your life is now is the way it's going to be for a reason.
Absolutely. And I guess you being able to harness that creativity and then bring that again into the new business, that's so like not many people actually get to do that.
Yeah, I'm very lucky in that way. And it is a lot like, I guess for me, having a little business on the side when I was doing beauty, it was, again, being your own boss. So I learned a lot of things to what to do to have a business to where I am now. And I can't say that I've done amazing, but I have to give myself a pat on the back with how much I've achieved and brought it up over the last like 3 years. We've been doing Burst Away for in next week will be 3 years.
Congratulations. So
it's crazy. Oh, 3 years. Like what we've achieved in that, I have, like, I think for a lot of females, we don't acknowledge what our achievements are, and we've got to take a step back and actually think, wow, like we've done this and we can do it. I've always struggled with that, like believing in myself enough. My husband's always like, I believe in you more than what you do. And I'm like, well, that's the hardest thing to do is believe in yourself.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more, especially being a female. And I find we completely disassociate our skills, our abilities, our achievements with us individually.
Yes.
It's like, it's just, oh yeah, it just happened. It was just, oh, it was just chance. It was just luck. It was just, yes. Oh yeah, it was just something that I did. It didn't really have anything to do with me as a person.
Exactly.
But when you actually look back, it's like, well, of course it was. You're the one that did it. You're the one that put all the work in. Like, nobody else did that. You did that. And we find that, like, just I work with so many people and talk to so many people. It's just like, it's such a common trend with women in business not associating their skills, abilities, and everything with their worth. And it's like, we need to start embracing that. And once we start associating that, we start building that trust up with ourselves that we can actually, we can own that and actually, and then that then builds more trust and we can do more things and be proud of it. But yeah, it's so interesting that it's so common across like female business owners and aspiring business owners. And even just like, I remember resonating when I was an employee as well, like not
recognizing
it.
Yeah, I totally. And like, one thing that's actually helped me a little bit over the last year is associating myself with more business women that are like me, and we build each other up and we boost each other. Like, that's one thing I've really noticed. Or we're feeling like, you know, our business isn't going where we want to be, etc. I can give them a call and they're like, no, you've totally got this, and we can do the same for each other. So like, that's what I in some way I've found really helpful, is finding other businesswomen that we can push each other's confidence up.
Absolutely. And there needs to be more of it as well, because
totally,
especially I was having a conversation with someone earlier today about it, is you've got your friend group, you've got people that are in your life that you do talk to, but if they're not kind of on the same journey or the same path, they just don't get it. Like, if you're in business, you're starting something new, or if you're in a creative space or whatever that may be, you're trying to resonate and be like, look, I'm having a creative block right now, if that's what it was, or this is happening in business, I don't like, I just need to talk about it, or this is the stage that I'm at. And it's like, you're not getting the support that you probably could, that you should need from somebody that doesn't understand. So it's good having that group of people that are on the same journey and supporting you, don't?
Yes, I totally agree. It is really important. I mean, for me, I think as well that, like, sure, I've got my husband and we do a lot of it together, but I am 80% is all me.
Yeah.
So to have someone that you can call and they're in the same position and they know exactly how you feel, it's amazing. Mm. And you can't really get that anywhere else.
No, and how good as well then, you know, knowing that you've got like-minded people together, and then you don't feel so isolated either.
Yeah, I totally agree. And when with COVID and et cetera that's been going on, like, a lot of bookings they're not as high as they were because people are very hesitant to book.
Yeah.
And so, like, I've been feeling a little bit like down and thinking maybe it's me, like I'm doing something wrong. And I've talked to my business girlfriends about it, and they're like, no, like, we're all in this position and these things can be really hard.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you, I guess, deal with and manage that kind of situation? Like, how have you navigated COVID with all of that?
Really, so when COVID first kind of hit, and this is a really big thing, we did have lots of our large bookings cancel and postpone, etc. But we still got a lot of smaller orders that we were able to do deliveries with. So it didn't really ever affect us. And until now, the last maybe 3 months where our borders haven't been open yet and got pushed back and et cetera, everyone's very hesitant to plan anything, not just events, just holidays, everything. So we have lots of little orders going out, but not as many big ones, which obviously is more of our money maker, our larger ones. And so it has been a bit of a struggle the last month. I've had to, like, recoup, brainstorm other ideas that I could keep doing. And I'm just rebranding a few of my things and things that maybe I wasn't really happy with. I can switch up a bit, focus more on that than focus on the bookings. And building up that community that I have on my Instagram, et cetera, and getting to know them more rather than about the sales. So, like, it is a really good way in a way to change it up and think of a different mind way of that. But it has been a bit of a struggle, yeah, the last couple of months.
Yeah, I can imagine. And, like, I know so many people in the same position as well, and it is difficult. And, like, I completely take my hat off to you navigating that.
Yeah, you just don't it's something that I've never, you don't think you have to have go through something like this, and you don't plan, so you're totally in the unknown, and it's the unknown that's scaring everybody as well. So we're all kind of like sitting chickens, kind of just waiting for something to happen.
Yeah,
let's hope we can just move on soon. Let's fingers crossed.
I know, and it's so like that. And I think we don't deal with uncertainty at the best of times, and yes. Now it's like at a whole new level and everyone's experiencing it. It's not just, yes. Oh, I'm going through a stage in my life or something's happening individually. Yeah. Now it's like everyone, and you just have no answers either.
And I didn't really think much of it. And then when for us, like the last couple of months, I was like, God, this is a bit of a struggle. And then it wasn't just for work then. It became quite an emotional for me. And just my life. So it's all emotions. It's a lot. And that's what is another thing that no one thinks they have to deal with. So people in business, it's a struggle right now, but not just people in business, it's people with their mental health and everything. It's everyone, you know?
Absolutely. And just going back to that, take COVID out of this, business itself is like an emotional and mental like struggle and development in its own, not even adding in COVID, you know what I mean?
100%.
Like navigating something, because I'm assuming you hadn't had a business before this?
No, this is my first business.
So how did, like, you're learning as you're going, right? So that, and then you're like, am I doing the right thing? Is this the right pathway? What's the next step? What's going to be sustainable? So how did you, I guess, learn how to do business?
A lot of it, like, you learn yourself, you self-taught, etc. I have been and talked to my accountant and business advisors and things like that. They're all very helpful, but I do think a lot of it, you get word of mouth from people and you think, oh, maybe I should do that, maybe I should do that. And then you think, no, I just needed to work it out myself. Mm. And so that's pretty much what I've done. I've just learned by myself, asked the questions and gone from there, because every business is so different and everyone has their opinion on how it should be run and how it should be done. And we all want to do it the correct way, but that is very overwhelming as well.
Oh, absolutely. There is so much information out there, and Nobody knows your business like you do. Nobody knows your reasons for doing what you're doing like you do, or your situation, your financial situation, your mindset, who you have in your life, what knowledge you have. Like, there's so much there, and it is really individual. And I love that you've kind of taken that knowledge but then gone, you know what, does this resonate with me? Does this not resonate with me? What's going to work, what's not, and actually take it like that rather than just taking everything for should be, you know?
Right. And there is, like, you got to go by the right things and the rules and things like that and do your taxes and all the important stuff. But also that is very overwhelming for me. Like, for me to know numbers and the really important nitty-gritty stuff is very overwhelming. So it's taken me probably a good year to really understand my flow charts and ins and outs and all that. It's a lot. And for a small business, one person to do that, let alone everything else, like, I mean, I've still got to pay everyone. It's overwhelming, but like I think I'm slowly getting down pat. For me, like I just wanted to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And obviously, like you know, my accountant, things like that helped me a lot. Things that I totally got off my head, but it's little bits at a time.
Mm. So when you first started then, what was first step? Did you go and see your accountant first, or did you like what was that first step for you? What did it look like?
The first thing for me was our liability insurance. Like I knew that was a big thing. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're always out in the public. So like for me, it was liability insurance, the business name and an ABN. Like there's yeah. three things to me that I needed to do straight away. Obviously, you want to build up your social media and website and things like that. But also that takes time. That takes photos, all the other little things in between. So they were my three big things that I already had a rough idea of what you need to do. But, I mean, Google always helps as well. And then from then on, I talked to a lot about my accountant. And you know what bank account should I have, having just a business account and all these little things like you don't think of when you start a business, saving in different accounts and putting your GST, all of that, it's just so much. So yeah, I started off with those three things and went from there.
Yeah, beautiful. And then coming back to like building an audience and being on social media, and I know we were touching on it before, but how do you find showing up on social media? Like, had you ever kind of done that before? Because it's completely different from having a personal account. And I know that like we've all had a MySpace page or like a, which were the great days and I wish that would come back. but we've all had like personal Facebook pages, personal Instagram pages, and there's not really been any purpose for it. It's just sharing whatever. But
yeah.
there's a completely different intention with like a business page, building that audience, sharing what you're doing, like putting yourself out there. How have you been able to like deal with that? Was that challenging for you or?
It's a lot of work that goes involved in social media as well. And I find that I could spend hours a day building it up. And so especially with Instagram, because I try and mainly focus on that, I find that I do not so much Facebook, but my kind of age group with Facebook is usually between the 40s to the 60s is in people that are intrigued in it. And then with Instagram, it's all the way from like 16 to 50. So I do get a bigger group of people on Instagram. It's probably why I'm more steer there. Mm. But when doing like posting, I'm posting every day a lot on my stories, and even with the reels, I never thought I'd have to be dancing in a reel to get people's attention. Like I'm not a dancer, like what is this? But like, oh, but it is fun. I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been at venues and there's like some guys next door having a beer and I'm like shaking around in the function room, like they must think what the hell is this like doing. But it's the best way to build up your Instagram and videos and little skit videos like that. I get way more insights than anything else.
Mm.
So that's the way it is. I mean, I'm not going to be there doing like my two-step TikTok videos, but like I'm happy to do some transitional videos and things like that. And it is lots of fun, don't get me wrong, but also it's a lot of work to do a little video for a 10-second video.
100%. I did one the other day and I reckon it took me an hour to film this video for like 30 seconds.
And then some of the reels insights, you might only get like 500 views and you're thinking, I've just put all my effort into there editing it, listening to the same song 50 times to get 500 views.
Oh my God. Absolutely. It's so funny because my dog's like usually walking around and the music is just playing over and over and over and over again. And it's probably thinking, what the hell are you doing? Can you turn this off now? But it's so true. And I think we put a lot of pressure on, we make this piece of content, mm-hmm. we put it out there and we expect so much in return. And that yeah. when we don't get that, it's like, exactly, why did I just waste all that time? However, we also need to remember that's what's building our audience. That's what's giving us content. And if somebody was to go back on your page and go through, you've got content.
Yeah, exactly right.
So
exactly.
It was worth it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I try and do a reel maybe every second day. And again, that a lot of that is building up your ideas and little things that you can do for the video. Every business is different, but for me, I try and do like a transitional video from not having the balloons to having the balloons. And I know like there's lots of other little methods to do with some others. You know, their options are endless, but you need to have the ideas as well. And it's no different to brainstorming a new special or things like that. It's all about you creating your personal thing, as in your personal business and showcasing you. So it's a lot of pressure, but it also, like, I know I can see where reels are 100% my best way of getting me out there. And some of my reels have lots of following. So you think that many people have viewed it. And I saw this post the other day and they were saying, you know, 500 people only viewed, but think about 500 people sitting in your room. That's overwhelming. So like, you have to think of it as like that as well.
Absolutely. And another thing that I think about my own consumer behavior, like I will sit, if I'm on Instagram and if I sit, I don't always like it. I don't always comment. So I'm still viewing it and you're still front of mind, but I'm not showing it. So how many other people are doing the same thing? You're still front of mind. And when they do think of balloons or whatever the market is, they're going to think of you because you were on social media, regardless if they actually commented or commented or liked or whatever. Because I know there's so much stuff I see on social media and I don't comment. But then I'm expecting everyone to comment on my stuff. And it's like, well, I need to take a look at my own consumer behavior to see how I'm interacting. Well, how can I expect I'm not doing that for them to do that as well? So then it's like, I don't know, it's a bit reassuring that it's all good. They're still seeing it. I'm still impacting them. They're still following me, whatever, just even though they're not commenting or liking, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's so true though, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I wanted to chat, and the listeners probably don't know, but we went to high school together and I do remember you being very creative and everything like that. How was, like, after high school, did you, I guess, the career path and all that kind of view, how was that for you? Did you go straight into a job? Were you doing something that you probably didn't really want to do? Did you kind of get pushed down a bit of a university pathway, or like what did that look like?
I kind of think like with schooling, well, I went up to year 11 and then I went and did TAFE study for beautician. And I kind of feel that you almost feel you have to just do something when you get to that point in your life, but you really actually don't even know what you really want. And a lot of people do change careers in their lifetime from what they chose when they were younger, and that's exactly what I've done. So I mean, I did all my beauty and things like that, but I also met my partner quite young as well, so that kind of consumed me for a while, having the kids, etc. But I do believe that I would have found what I was going to do eventually, doing what I do now. You just don't know at that age, I feel, to really understand yourself even. I have a sister and she's 24 and she's only just really working out what she wants to do now. And that's still young.
But absolutely.
At 17, it's a lot.
It is. It's a lot of pressure. And like, I know the same, like I did year 11 and then went to TAFE as well. And like, there's so much, I don't even know what the word is. I guess pressure and also expectation from the schools for you to go to uni. But
yes, exactly.
How big of a decision is that to be like, okay, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? This. You've had no life experience. You've got no idea.
Exactly right. And I have worked in a few beauty salons and things in the past, and that would have gained, I guess, working with more, because I work a lot by myself, you know, these days. It's, you know, when I'm planning and organising and the orders through the week. So it was great to have that connection with other people and other employees and things like that. But I really, looking back, I had no idea that I really wanted to do that. I mean, you just have to have a job, don't you? You need to have income, but you got to love it at the same time.
Absolutely. And I think that is such a big aspect that isn't focused on, is like, we spend so much time working, and I say that in air quotations, because like when you're working, I don't know, for me, the perception is you're doing something that you don't really want to do. You're just doing it for money, right?
Yeah.
But if we were loving what we were doing, it doesn't actually feel like work, and you're able to enjoy what you're passionate about and actually thrive in an area that you're interested in.
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually feel like work.
Yeah. And that's for sure. Like, I have some days, everyone has the days and they're like, oh, I can't be bothered today. I wake up just not feeling it. But as soon as I get to the location that I'm at and I start to work and do my thing, I 100% remember why I love doing it. Mm-hmm. And you do have to find snippets of why you like what you do. And if you don't, then you really aren't having a great time, aren't you? Like, it is just for the job. But you know, I do feel that inside of us, there's certain things that we're pushed to do in our life, and we need to find that.
Yeah, absolutely. And having your own business now and doing, you know, what you enjoy, what has that allowed you to actually do? And
oh my goodness, I honestly don't think I could ever go back to be working for somebody. Like, it totally like blows my mind in that. But I get the freedom. I work a lot, don't get me wrong. I'm always working, and it's part of having a business. But I get the chance to be able to be with my kids more as well. So that's always a bonus. But I also get to have that less pressure of getting this done at a certain time, because I make my own hours. And if I'm not finished work, I can still be here at 7. It doesn't matter. Mm. Rather than with working for someone, there's a lot of rules and a lot of ways of how you have to do this certain thing. And I know when I was doing beauty work, and I would start working in a new salon, and I would have to do their pedicure exactly how the boss had learned how to do her pedicure, which I didn't want to, but you have to. And so to have that freedom and actually think, no, I really love this, and this is the way I want to do it. Again, having a business, that's a luxury, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, that's what they strive for. And I know, like, for me, I love that, being able to be like, you know what, I'm not doing that today, or I think I just need to actually sleep in a little bit, or cool, I'm up, I'm ready to go, or you work late or whatever that is, or it's like, you know what, I've got time to be with people that I love, or I can go and do that. And like, even for me, God, just being able to make my breakfast not in a rush and cook it, like, that is such a, and not be like, you've got to be at work at 7 a.m. and okay, I've got to get up and I've got to exercise and I've got to do all this stuff before then. It's like actually being able to take your time in the morning is so like rewarding.
Yeah, it's little things like that sometimes, isn't it?
Absolutely. So you touched on working like alone a lot of the time, and you're a mum as well. Mm-hmm. How do you handle being alone and as well being a mum at the same time? Because I know that would be quite a lot of pressure as well with the kids.
Yeah, they are, since, because I was home based for 2 years with Burst Away, so we were in this, I don't even know how we managed to have a good, everything was everywhere, let's tell me that. And about 8 months ago, we moved into an industrial, like, commercial space. So really separating those two, I didn't realise how much I mentally needed to separate the two. And it's been amazing. Like, I probably could never move back. If I was to move back to my house, I would probably sell the business. That's how, like, mentally I just, you have to break it up. It's so not healthy. So now that we have the space, the kids know that if they're here hanging out watching TV, that it's mum's working.
Yeah.
And then we can go home now and it's no work at all. and I hardly look at my phone and I'm not distracted. Like I, when I was being at home, I would constantly be on my phone, still be in the room, and it was unhealthy and my kids weren't getting the right attention. So to me, like that was a big change in separating the two. They understand, like my kids are old enough now, they're 6 and 4, they understand that mum works, and if mum doesn't work, they don't get anything, which is the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. But
it's really good for them to acknowledge that as well, that they can't expect these things and we have all this money if mummy's not doing something as well and focusing on that. So it's been really fine. I mean, don't get me wrong, struggles with having a business and small kids is a lot. And some days I wish, why am I wishing this upon myself? But I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
Just some days are more stressful than others. Or kids are having a meltdown and I really just need to get this order out, you know, things like that. But it all settles out eventually.
That's awesome. So for anybody, I guess, that is wanting to start a business or start working from home or starting their own product or whatever that may be, and they are going to be at home, what advice do you have for, I guess, for the business side of things and also like working from home and splitting that time?
Things that I would have changed if I had, you know, more knowledge, I guess, looking back at myself, would be to set hours for yourself, rough hours. I know like you have your own business and there's things you need to do, but also it's very easy when it's just you to want to keep going. So rough hours for yourself, and try and have, like, for me it's a little bit different because a lot of my work is from Thursday to Sunday, so weekends are party times, so I don't really get a lot of socialing side of it slash time with my kids on the weekend. So we try and have that on a Monday and Tuesday instead. So every business is different, but it is really important to still have that family time. And again, with the notebooks, writing everything down, writing a list of what you needed to achieve in that day and ticking it off, when you look at it, it actually makes you do it more. Like it makes you think, if I've done that and I've crossed it off, I'm done for the day. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something in us that spikes that, you know, like a bit of dopamine or whatever when we actually complete and achieve things.
Yes.
So then it's just like, oh, yeah, I want more of that. Kind of thing.
100%. And I literally have a list every day. I've got one with me right now and I'm crossing them off still. Like, just, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good to get it done. And even if you didn't get one done, it doesn't matter. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, you've still got time to do it. Especially with a small business, you can make time to do it as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. And another question, and I don't know if you've experienced this before, but has there been any, like, I guess, negative feedback or adversity with you going down this pathway for a business? Like, it's not a traditional type of pathway or business, or do you know what I mean? Like, with sharing that different vision and idea for what you want for your life?
Well, when we first started, a lot of people thought it was a fad. Oh, you just want to blow up some balloons for a party. That's just so much fun, isn't it? It's just a fun job. But me and my husband never thought of it like that. Like, the event world is insane. And unless if you're in the event world, you know. If you're not, you have no idea. And it is, like, especially now with balloons and decorations like that, balloons are solely the decoration. You don't have extra things and things hanging around. It's literally, if you've got balloons, that's all you need. And it is a bit more pricier for that reason, because we go above and beyond to what a lot of people say, oh, I didn't expect it to be like this, but I love it. And that's literally what we want to achieve. So we did have a little bit of that, like, it's a play fun business, but we never thought of it like that, and we just kind of wanted to prove them wrong. And we'd have people still now say, I can't believe where you guys are at, how have you guys grown like that, and we just think, this was always what we wanted. Like, this is just what we envisioned and we had plans and our achievements to get to. It just, I guess, it's them not believing in you, but we want to prove that we can do it as well. So it's a little bit more of oomph to get there too.
Absolutely. And if you can harness that, because I know a lot of people get stuck in, I guess, firstly, fear of judgment. And then when they actually do try and do something different, or they want to start something that's in their circle has never been done before, the comments like that could come up, and then they either abandon the idea, not start it, or they then just start completely doubting themselves.
Yeah, and it is scary. Like whenever we announce a new service, a new prop, like little butterflies, you're excited, but you're scared because what if they don't like it? But the only person that can do it is you.
Yeah.
So if you don't put yourself out there, you'll never know.
Yeah.
And if you do and it's a fail, then you know maybe that wasn't the right prop that people like. I might like something, they don't like it, but you don't know until you try. Mm. And why live your life not putting yourself out there and trying?
Yeah, exactly. I love that. I love that so much. So good.
And same thing with being a female. Like we always have so much self-doubt that we're not good enough and we can't do it. If you don't try, like we're just going to sit here still wondering if we could do it or not. And like that's a big thing for me. Like even when I'm coming up with new ideas, I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I'm like, what's to lose?
Exactly. And I know for me, like I always look back, I think of myself, well, when I'm at the end of my days and like 80, 90 or whatever I live to, did I do everything in my power to live this life and have that opportunity and take that chance and know the answer? I'd rather go, you know what, I did it, rather than, oh, I wonder if when I was 20 years old, if I had just said yes to that, or if I just put that thing on social media, I wonder what would have happened. Like at least you can turn around and go, I did do it. You know what, it didn't work out, or it was like, I'm so glad I did that. It was the best thing ever. They loved that. It was awesome. This has changed my business. This has changed my life. Like, you don't know.
And it's the same with social media, like doing your stories and you talking to the camera and talking to your audience. Like, no one really wants to do that. Like, that's a bit scary to start with, but you don't do it and try, and people interact with you, and that's the way you build as well and build your confidence to grow.
Oh my God, absolutely. And like, God, even with this podcast, I remember my first episode, looking back at it now, absolutely terrible. But but then it's like you learn to talk to yourself. You learn to have a conversation when you're not in front of someone, or asking questions without having it all written down, or not reading off a script, or being like, oh, you know, especially on stories and like Instagram and whatever, it's like you're looking at yourself. So I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm then going, well, what do I look like looking at myself? And then I'm trying to think of what I'm talking about. And I'm like, oh, hang on a second. What's happened there? Like there's so much stuff that you've got to learn and like overcome.
So true. And even when I look back at our first garland that we got paid for. And when we very first started, we just were doing a lot of learning. So we weren't really charging a lot, just to our friends and stuff. And so I first paid in-store, I think it was like $50, like nothing. And we look back and we just think, that is disgusting. Like, but we're learning and we're trialing things and seeing what way we want it to portray ourselves in our creative way than others. And you will see that there's other balloonists around the world that they will showcase their work, and that's their own personal touches. Same thing with us. So it's very much a personal thing. And I think for this and our business we have is a very personal business. And you can really, like, your world is your oyster in a way. And if it doesn't look good, you love it. They don't, it doesn't matter as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing that makes you different as well. And that's what makes everybody in the world different as well. Like, some people resonate and like what you're doing, some people don't, and they're going to resonate and like what somebody else does. That's just people. Yeah. That's just the world.
We're not each other's people. Like, that's why I'm noticing, even with friends and making new connections, we're not each other's people all the time. Like, it's just you work out who you vibe with and who you don't.
And that's okay. And you know what? There's plenty of us out there. Like, there is so many people out there. So if they don't resonate and like your style, that's cool. Thanks so much, because then it leaves room for somebody else to come in and like it.
And I think I'm growing as a person as well, and working out who to surround yourself with that push you up, not push you down. It's a big thing as well. And it does take a while for even all of us to realize maybe that person or that group isn't the right environment we need.
Yeah, you know, definitely. And I know, like, going through high school, going through your early 20s and all that kind of stuff, like, you do go through friend groups, and that's okay. And I feel like a lot of, like, I don't even know what the word is, like, negativity or shame gets put on it if you don't want to be part of that group anymore, you don't want to hang out with those people anymore, or you want to go down a different direction. It's like, you know what, we outgrow people.
Yeah,
we grow as people. And if they're not aligned, well, they're not aligned. People are meant to come and go in your life for certain reasons, and they give you learnings and insights, or they might stick by you and they're your people as well. Like, that's okay. But don't, like, make yourself feel bad. And that's something that us as females do as well, make ourselves feel bad that I'm not friends with my class in eighth grade anymore. I'm a really horrible person because I wasn't friends with all those people. You know what I mean? It's like...
It's so true. It's a lot of growing. And I do think, like, now turning 30 this year, I really have only just really understood myself now. And I'm 30. I do say that it takes that long to turn, to get to that point. Don't men take longer than females? Who knows? But it's a lot. And I can now, like, say that I fully know who I am.
Yeah.
And, like, that's, you can't know that at 17 when you've got to go and get your first job and think you're really successful and this is what you're going to do for your whole life. Like, you just don't know.
Nah, exactly. And I think you're right. Like, I'm turning 30 this year as well. And I know, I don't know if you're into astrology and all that kind of stuff, but at like 28, 29, your Saturn return happens. And that's when
I've heard about these.
That's when, like, things kind of all fall into place, and it kind of is a bit of a shit show sometimes as well, and things, whatever. Yeah. But that kind of then sets you up to be like, cool, this is who you are, this is what you like. Like, and it all, it is supposed to kind of all kind of fall into place. But, I feel like that's exactly what's happening. But I had no idea, like you said, at 17, even 24, like, no idea.
No idea. You think you are, and you are working yourself out, but it does take a while. And even I would say when me and my husband got married 7 years ago, I am not that person. Well, like I am. I'm not the person that I was back then. And, like, just the way I showcase myself, the way I think and the way I see things is so different to what I am now. And I just think if I was to get married now or do something really big in my life, it would be completely opposite.
Yeah.
But you just don't, you think you know yourself then and you don't.
Yeah. And look, this is the whole journey, I guess, of life, is getting to know you and coming back to liking yourself and knowing who you are and being okay with that and all of that kind of stuff. And it is a journey, and you are constantly learning, and, like, give yourself a bit of a break. I know I was so hard on myself, and I probably still am in certain areas.
That's one thing that people do say, that I am really hard on myself and I strive for it to be perfect. And I'm someone that wants to make people feel special. So again, this is the job I'm in, is I'm all about it. And I will, every little detail I will always push, or if it's their birthday, I want to make sure I bought them a present, got them balloons, got them cake. Are you loved? Do you feel loved today? Like, this is what you need. And, like, I just think that's so important. Like, everyone needs that little bit of attention on them. And it, to me, the details, it all goes around for me. It's like this big circle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so good. So before we kind of wrap up, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, just quick ones. So firstly, I have got a playlist for when people are feeling a little bit down and they want to get pumped up and get into that high energy, high motivation, inspiration mode. What is your go-to song to get you, like, pumped up and inspired?
When I was a child, I would go to, when I started as a child, me and my mum would go to all the Pink concerts. So we've been to everyone together that she's ever come to WA for. So I would have to say any Pink song. Like, I know that doesn't refer to everybody else, but it's the memory / like, yeah, I've got this. And a lot of her songs are like, she's a kick-ass woman, you know what I mean?
100%.
So that's probably one of her songs.
I love that. Okay, well, if we could narrow it down, because I'm going to add this song to this playlist so that if anybody does go here, they can get that. On the top of your head, what would be, like, the one that you'd probably go to? Like if you're feeling down right now and you wanted to pump yourself up, what would be that first song?
I would probably put You and Your Hand by Pink.
Cool.
It's a pretty like pushing, like girl power one.
Yeah.
Cool. I actually was listening to on Spotify the other day, a girl anthem, and it was literally such good girl boosting vibes. I loved it.
I love it.
That's pretty much what you're doing now. I listen to it with your boosting vibes.
I love it. I think it's good. I'm such a big music person. And when it comes to like energy, music is just so powerful for that. And I don't think we leverage that enough. So for people to be able to have a resource like that, I think it's like really, really powerful.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, second thing, if there is anything that you could be doing for work or in your life and there was absolutely no limit, money wasn't a problem or whatever, what would you be doing?
Do you know what? Probably the same thing. I probably wouldn't, like there'd be different things that would be happening, obviously, but like I love creating, so yeah, I couldn't see my life any other way. It might be some, not necessarily balloons, but it's always going to be creating something.
Mm.
So I probably wouldn't change it.
That's awesome. So good. Okay. And the last question, what's the best advice that you've ever received?
Probably more so what's to lose.
Yeah.
What have you got to lose if you don't try, or you're the only one that can do it for yourself?
Yeah.
And that kind of is like the one kind of thing for me, isn't it? Like you're your worst enemy, but your best enemy at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And when it comes down to it, we're responsible for so much, and we totally give that responsibility away every chance we get, because like having responsibility, that's a lot. And
it's a lot.
But then at the same time, how empowering is that responsibility, because you get to do it. You get to have all of the, you get to make the choice.
Exactly.
But we forget that we do have that choice. It's just like a double-edged sword. And
you're the only person that can change your life. Like no one else can do it for you. So any little tiny thing that you might be worried or concerned about, big or small, it's all on you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we forget that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on here. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. Is there anything that you want to add that we might have not covered or you wanted to share?
No, I loved everything we talked about.
Cool. That's so good. So if anybody wants to find you on social media or get in touch or find out what you do, where can they find you?
Yeah, so most common social media for us is Instagram. So it's burst.away. Otherwise, our website is www.burstaway.net. And we have everything on there, as much information as possible. Cool. We like to try and keep it all up to date with our photos and what new things we have. So it's all on there.
Fantastic. I love that so much. Well, again, it's been an absolute honor and pleasure, and I really, really appreciate it. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
What an amazing conversation. I don't know about you, but I literally could have talked to Kat for hours. And after we recorded this podcast, we literally spoke for about another half an hour to 45 minutes and probably should have recorded it, but all good. It was amazing nonetheless. So I don't know about you, but I was pretty inspired about Kat's story, how she handled business, how she handles, you know, moving through the adversity, COVID, how she handles comparison, the idea side, how to innovate, and also just that aspect of finding your people. I just really, really love that. So go ahead and, you know, follow her on Instagram, go and support her. And also, I don't know if you know, but you also have access to the Pump Up playlist, which is exclusive to the New Age Inspired listeners. That is going to be linked in the show notes. So if you're feeling down and wanting a bit of a pump up, I'm collecting all of the ultimate pump up songs from all of my guests and adding a few of my own in there for you for when you're feeling down or you're feeling like you need to move some energy and you want a little bit of a pump up and you need a bit of an inspiration, you have access to this playlist. So it's on Spotify, and again, it's in the show notes, and it's also linked on my website as well, which is www.mdouglas.com. And yeah, I hope you enjoy that, and I will see you next time.